Welcome to Onc Live On Air. In today's episode, we have the pleasure of speaking with Kanwal P.S. Raghav, MBBS, MD, about the role of fruquintinib for the treatment of adult patients with pretreated metastatic colorectal cancer. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Raghav discussed the mechanism of action of fruquintinib, key efficacy data from the Phase 3 FRESCO and FRESCO 2 trials, the treatment settings where this agent is most frequently administered, and adverse effects to be aware of. He also noted how the role of fruquintinib in earlier lines of therapy has yet to be defined due to a lack of optimal predictive biomarkers. Dr. Raghav concluded by emphasizing the importance of clinical trials for improving outcomes for patients with colorectal cancer.
Fruquintinib is a highly selective oral tyrosine kinase inhibitor, and it hits all the three receptors, VEGFR1, 2, and 3 in the VEGF pathway. As a result, its major implication is anti-angiogenesis, and then it also affects lymphogenesis that occurs through VEGF3. The approval for fruquintinib was received back in 2023 in US and 2024 in Europe. It was based on FRESCO and FRESCO 2 trials. These were two randomized trials. FRESCO was done primarily in China. But FRESCO 2 was a global trial. This trial randomized patients to receive fruquintinib versus best supportive care and placebo. There was a median overall survival benefit seen in FRESCO 2 as well as FRESCO. The median overall survival of the control arm, which was the placebo arm, was about 4.8 months. And this was improved with fruquintinib to 7.4 months. This was a hazard ratio of 0.66. Owing to the results of this study, it was approved in a treatment refractory colorectal cancer population. The eligibility criteria was that patients should have received 5-FU oxaliplatin, irinotecan, anti-VEGF and anti-EGFR agents wherever indicated. And one of the critical points on this trial was that you had to have progression on the then standard of care, TAS-102 or regorafenib or both. So highly treatment refractory population. So since its approval, most of the use of this drug has been in third and fourth line setting, as was designed by the study, depending on how you're defining your lines of therapy in metastatic colorectal cancer. A very burning question in the field is, you know, we have all these agents in salvage line setting, but there are two things that we lack with many of these agents. And the first one is optimal sequencing, right? Because there is no head-to-head comparison for these trials. And the second thing is predictive biomarkers, right? So we don't have any of those. But putting that aside, the basis of many of these agents is that VEGF axis is a very important axis in colorectal cancer, right? The VELOR study, RAY study, TML study, they all showed convincingly that VEGF continuation, even after progression on prior VEGF, is really effective in colorectal cancer. So I do feel that there is a lot of role in trying to learn how to best sequence these agents, because all of these agents, aflibercept, ramucirumab, bevacizumab, regorafenib, and now fruquintinib, which are all VEGF, primarily VEGF-targeted agents, they work mechanistically in different manner, right? So there is a question of sequencing that we have yet to answer. However, there are evolving data about combining combination therapies as well as single-agent treatment, bringing fruquintinib up in first-line maintenance setting, second-line combination with chemo. And there is also emerging data on combinations with immune checkpoint inhibition and other drugs. Overall, I think this agent in the setting it was studied in is actually very well tolerated. Most of the toxicities are predictable and manageable. The key areas where one has to pay attention to is hypertension. Because this happened, all grades of hypertension happened in nearly 50% of patients, and grade 3 or 4 hypertension can happen in 20% of those patients. Similarly, another thing that one needs to watch out for is The classic constitutional class effect of all TKIs, which is hand-foot syndrome or palmar-plantar erythrodysesthesia. They tend to happen about 30% of the times of all grades, about 8% of the times grade 3 and grade 4. So one has to watch out for these, but I think that these are manageable side effects, especially if you can select your patients appropriately, right? So somebody with uncontrolled hypertension is probably not a great candidate for this drug, but otherwise, compared to the toxicity profile of other drugs, it's different but manageable, and that results in improved quality of life in these patients, right? So colorectal cancer patients at this stage are not always looking for tumor shrinkage, but a drug that is easily available, accessible, you can take it orally, and then you can manage the toxicities pretty well. The other aspect of this is, the quality of life is also dependent on stability of disease, and the disease control rate, can be as high as 50 to 60% with these drugs, right? So not a whole lot of shrinkage, but definitely disease control rate. I think all of those factors result in a maintained quality of life. The trial defines that type of patients that should get this agent. Usually first or second line is combination cytotoxics with biologics, provided you're not one of the molecular subsets in colorectal cancer nowadays. And then there is the question of whether you would treat somebody with sunlight regime, with TAS, with BEV, because of the benefits seen over TAS. And then, regorafenib, fruquintinib are the other agents. Now, like I said, there is no optimal sequencing. So you have to take into consideration patient preferences, toxicities that they've had. For example, if somebody has had multiple lines of chemo and they are now drowning under the pressure of bone marrow suppression from treatment toxicity, it may not be feasible to continue a cytotoxic like TAS-102. But those are cases where VEGF inhibition is not only effective, but also acts like a chemotherapy-free treatment regime. So I think a variety of patient factors, including preference of administration, a lot of patients don't want IV treatment at this time, toxicity profile, whether you have hypertension, whether you've had, past hand-foot syndrome. So I think it's a multifaceted decision, just not one clear-cut indication. We just need to recognize that it's great to have effective agents in salvage treatment for colorectal cancer. But we should always be looking towards clinical trials and improving outcomes for our patients. So, early referral to clinical trials is still the key here in trying to improve outcomes.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back throughout the week for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.